David Vaughan speaks to literary agent Jitka Slopova about Václav Havel's first play in two very long decades.
It was the literary headline of the year when Václav Havel's first play for nearly two decades was published a few weeks ago. And we can be every bit as sure that the first performance of the play next year at Prague's Na Vinohradech Theatre will also be a huge event. When Havel became president after the spectacular fall of the communist regime in 1989, many predicted that he would never write again. The new play, Odcházení, or Leaving, proves them wrong. Not only has Havel shown that he can still write, but he has also drawn directly from his political experiences, with a plot that will inevitably make audiences look for parallels in his own extraordinary career. To talk about the play, I caught up with Jitka Slopova, who represents Václav Havel for the literary agency Aurapont. I asked her how difficult she thought it was for Havel to return to writing.
I think it was extremely difficult for him to concentrate on writing a new play after 20 years. But I think that his method is still so viable, and he's able to pursue it and to develop it. And he found a lot of material, of course, for his play.
I think one mistake a lot of people make is they tend to separate Havel the politician from Havel the playwright. Of course, in this play, it's a play about a politician, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I think he projected into the play his experience of the politician and transformed it into a quite strange dramatic world.
I believe that Václav Havel himself says that he actually started writing the play, or had the idea for the play, long before his political career started. I mean, at the time when he was still a dissident.
That's true. I am a witness, because he really told me about this play 20 years ago, that it's inspired by King Lear.
Essentially, the plot is really a combination, isn't it, of Shakespeare's King Lear plus Chekhov's The Cherry Orchard, put into a modern context, a context of contemporary politics, plus a typical bit of Havel absurdity. It tells the story of a successful politician at the end of his career. The new generation of politicians, the up-and-coming politicians, they want him to move out of the villa, which he had as a perk, going with the job of being not president, but chancellor, but it's an equivalent post to President Havel's own post. And gradually, by an inevitable process, he loses the villa and ends up becoming an advisor to an advisor to an advisor. Obviously, everybody is going to be looking through the play with a tooth comb to look out for specific political references to Havel's own political career and to some of his political allies and political enemies. There are plenty of little nuances, aren't there, that people familiar with the Czech political scene over the last 20 years will identify?
Yes, they are. They are really small hints, but I think they are only part of the play. I think that he uses them not only in the sense of theme, but also of the music of the play, because he likes to combine the motifs in a way as music compositions are made.
It is quite amusing, though. It made me laugh that he talks about the Klein affair. And this character, Klein, he's very identifiable as a kind of modern politician full of cliché, ambitious, unscrupulous. I love the bit, actually, where he ends up being the person who buys the villa that Riga, the main character, is living in, and what his plans are for the building. I'll just read a little bit here. Here, where this unprofitable orchard now stands, we are going to build a moderately large social and commercial centre. It will have three cinemas, five stores, a massage parlour, hairdressers, a boutique, the editorial offices of The Keyhole, which is the main tabloid newspaper, a butcher shop, a gas station, a dance hall, a tattoo clinic, a cinema, an antique store, a butcher's shop, the editorial offices of The Keyhole, deliberately repeated there, and three restaurants, including a Thai establishment. Over there in the coach house, there'll be a casino. Casinos are simply a part of the times we live in, aren't they, Victor? And this would be eminently identifiable, I think, to many Czechs today, wouldn't it?
Yes, I think so. These developing plans are sometimes really horrible.
And as you've already hinted, Havel is a very sophisticated playwright, and he goes out of his way to make sure that anybody reading or will be seeing the play won't identify too specifically characters with specific characters, including himself. He isn't really Rieger, is he? Although he's obviously, mm-hmm. there are parallels that he's a politician who's left politics, Rieger is a politician who's just leaving politics. Mm-hmm. He goes out of his way, doesn't he, to make sure that people won't identify him too strongly with mm-hmm. this character. Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course. First of all, I think Rieger is sort of a parody of himself, self-parody. On the other hand, he's, I think, a different type of politician.
He's more sort of corrupted by power, isn't he? He's very much so.
I think he's also corrupted mentally in a way that he's interviewed in the play by the keyhole reporters. And I think it's very funny because what Rieger's saying, his language, is very, very funny.
I can actually read a bit from a point where he's interviewed, and he does talk in these wonderful banalities, which again will be familiar, I think, not just to Czechs who will see the play, but also to people who follow the political scene in many countries today. Here, for example, is one of his answers. "That's a good question. The essence of my policy was an effort to significantly reduce the burden on taxpayers. All taxes were gradually reduced. Some were eliminated altogether, such as the tax on interest on inherited interest. Lowering taxes was meant to stimulate economic growth, which in turn would enable the government to gradually increase pensions and social security payments so that everyone would really benefit. Is that clear enough?" Rieger is full of banalities like that, isn't he?
Yes, and I think that's the main difference between Havel and Rieger, because Havel is very careful about saying banalities. And another difference, I think, is also in the structure of the play, because Havel, in fact, introduced himself into the play as a voice which sort of rules the stage and also bullies the actors, which is very funny.
Yes, it's very amusing. Every time the actors raise their voices or go into open conflict, he steps in, doesn't he? There's one point where the characters are getting carried away with their banalities, and he comes. Here's a point where the voice comes in, this disembodied voice of the playwright. "I have the feeling that this dialogue, as important as it is to the play, might also be somewhat boring. But I don't think it's entirely my fault. Of course, I have an influence on my own play, undeniably. But the main thing is that as I write it, I'm trying to serve the logical course of events, which seems more important to me than my own feelings about them." And then he goes on, and he's kind of parodying himself as well here, isn't he?
What is parodied in this play is his own dramatic method. So it's sort of a para-Havel, in fact, or meta-Havel.
And also, there is suddenly, out of the blue, a direct reference to Havel, isn't there? One of the characters suddenly says, "But as Havel once told me, popularity isn't everything."
There are many references to other world politicians in the play. And he included himself into this line of politicians who are quoted and parodied.
It's almost like slapstick, isn't it, at some point, where there's this bust of Gandhi which is being carried around, which he wants to keep, but it turns out that it's on the inventory of the government, therefore it has to go.
The bust of Gandhi is a real thing. It is in his office.
But he did manage to hang on to it.
So many other things which are not real, but you know, he takes one real detail from his everyday life and then composes around a play with similar details. That's one part of this method.
The play has aroused a huge amount of interest here in the Czech Republic and internationally, starting with the question, who's going to be acting in the first production? And now I know that Havel is very keen for his wife, Dagmar, to have a role in the play. I assume that she would take the role of Irena, mm-hmm. the girlfriend of Rieger, the main character.
It's not a main part, but it's rather important because this character is, if there is any opponent to Rieger, apart from one of his secretaries, it's Irena, his long-time friend. There was one very good remark, I think, in the first reviews of the play, that she bears a lot of characteristics of Havel himself. for instance, his punctuality. So she still hasn't lost her senses. She knows what still is or is not acceptable from the point of view of morals.
And so Dagmar Havlova, Havel's wife, will be appearing in the first production.
Yes, she will be in the first production at the theatre Na Vinohradech in Prague, and she will play this role. It's the theatre which she is connected with for the most part of her career.
I should imagine that normally the agency that you work for, Aura Pont, probably has difficulty getting people to show an interest in a new Czech play. I'm sure that's not the case with this play, is it?
Yes, you were right. You were right. We have already many offers from abroad for staging the play. There is an interest, of course, in America and from the United Kingdom and from other European countries. There are already, I think, about 8 translations completed or near to completion. We have very positive reactions from several British theatres, and we have 3 theatres in New York interested in the play, and also a theatre on the West Coast, and also another theatre which did a lot of Havel plays in Philadelphia, which is, I think, the main repertory theatre in Philadelphia, and so on and so on.
And can we expect more from Václav Havel as a playwright?
Definitely. He's now out of the city, we don't know where, and he was planning to write a play also to write a new play with a smaller cast this time. So we expect there will be at least one more play.
Anyway, Jitka Slopova, thank you very much indeed. I don't know about you, but I'm certainly very much looking forward to seeing this play on the stage.
So am I.
Thank you.
Thank you.